Exodus chapter 19. We're going to read that before we read the stated passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the day that they came into the wilderness of Sinai, they set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will keep, indeed, obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear what I speak with you and may also believe you forever." When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord, the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set limits for the people all round, saying, 'Take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of the mountain. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain.'" So Moses went down and from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people. They washed their garments and he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman." On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. The Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, 'Set limits around the mountain and consecrate it.'" And the Lord said to him, "Go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. Verse 18 of chapter 20 of Exodus. God has given to them the laws concerning their lives and ours. Verse 20, we read, "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be with before you, that you may not sin." The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thickness where God was. Now we turn to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews, in the 12th verse, chapter of the book of Hebrews, and the 18th verse. The New Testament commentary on what we've just read. "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire, and darkness, and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable angels and festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns us from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." Amen. In the Gospel of Luke, we have been looking this past few weeks at a statement of Jesus which he gave when he gave what is known as the parable of the sower. When he said in the 18th verse of that chapter, Luke's chapter 8, "Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." We've been looking at the subject of why do Christians drift? Why do they get to the point where they neglect the things of God which they once professed to believe? And we have traced a journey through the fact that it predominantly begins with the heart, and that is created by a failure to truly listen. Truly listen. There is a hearing of God, but there is not a listening. A listening which leads to an obedience, not just simply a hearing of the words. And so there's an understanding of what is being said. But a listening that actually leads the one who hears to think about what they have heard, apply it personally to their lives, and then obey it for what it is. And we have looked at reasons why it is incumbent upon us to be hearers of the Word of God, listeners of the Word of God, obeyers of the commandments of God. And we've seen that we have good warrant for doing that because these words that we listen to are not the words of men. They are the words of God. God spoke and the world came into existence. God then spoke to men directly. And then he spoke through men directly, the prophets. He spoke through his Son. He spoke through his apostles. And today he continues to speak through those who have been called and ordained to the office of minister as they proclaim his word as it is revealed in the scriptures. We've seen that it is proper and right and necessary for us to listen to God because these words that God has breathed out as God, not the words of men, contained in the scriptures in the Old and New Testaments, are not dead words, but they are living and active. And in that sense, they are wholly unique, separate from all the other words that we hear or that we read. These words are the words of life. These words, through the agency of God, the Holy Spirit, bring an individual from death to life. And then they are the means of grace that God has provided for the establishment of that believer in the ways of righteousness. They are active unto salvation and they are active unto sanctification. And sanctification, our pursuance of holiness in Christ, is the purpose for which God set his love on us before the foundation of the world, because we have been saved not to continue to live our lives as we please and suit us, but we have been saved to be conformed to the image of his Son. We have been saved to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Because you can hear that and not understand it. We have been saved to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ, not in our ways. We have been saved to obey the commands of God as he has given them, not as we interpret them to suit us. And the third reason we have seen why we should listen is because we are living in a world, in a culture, in a context where there is proactive theft being pursued with regard to the Word of God. That Satan is actively seeking to steal away from the hearers of God's word that truth. And we, our sinful selves, are willing to be complicit in that act of theft. This morning we come to see the last and final reason why we should take care how we listen, understand, and hear the things of God. We should hear and listen and understand and apply the Word of God to our lives because Jesus commands us to do that. Jesus commands us to do that. And there are two reasons why Jesus commands us to do that and why we should listen is because Jesus understands the necessity for us to listen. And Jesus understands the consequences that follow after the listening or non-listening of God's word. And the second reason why we should listen to the commands of God is because God commands us to listen to the commands of Jesus. God commands us to listen to the words and commands of Jesus. Some of you are in a vulnerable state this morning. You're vulnerable because you're not listening. It's not because I'm looking at you at the moment, but I'm observing your life. And you're not listening. You're not listening. And that puts you in a grave position. A very grave position. Jesus commands us to listen. He not only says it here in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, he says it on a number of occasions. He says, you who have ears, let you hear, and take care how you hear. Take care how you hear and obey. And Jesus understands the necessity for us to listen. It's like anything in life. If you want someone to tell you what you should do in a particular situation, you should go to someone who knows what is required in that particular situation. There isn't much benefit in listening to me, for example, concerning the needs of your car. If you've got a problem with your car, don't come to me, because I will not be able to give you any helpful advice other than to direct you to someone who can help you do that. The person I would direct you to would be someone who understands the workings of a vehicle, and they would be able to help you. And they would be able to help you if you were willing to listen to what they had to say. If you were not willing to listen to what they had to say, they would not be able to help you. Jesus tells us that we are to take care how we hear, because he understands us as human beings, and he understands our propensity not to listen. He was aware that there were many people who stood before him and heard what he had to say. He spoke with clarity. He was creative. He was imaginative. He used many illustrations. He used examples from everyday life. His communication was an engaging communication. He drew people in when he spoke. They listened to what he was saying. And yet Jesus was aware, as he observed the lives of those people subsequent to their hearing and the choices that they were making in their lives, that they weren't actually listening to what he was saying. Although they were hearing the words that he was saying, although they were going away and speaking and saying, you know, isn't he a very gifted man? Doesn't he lead you in and draw you in and hold your attention? He's not like the scribes and Pharisees who go over endlessly the previous laws that have been written and the various interpretations of those laws. He speaks with authority. And yet Jesus knew that the very same people who were saying that he spoke with authority were people who were going out and not doing what Jesus was saying. That there was a break between their hearing and their doing. There was a break between their ears being tickled and their enjoyment, like the people who went and sat at Ezekiel's feet and said, let's go to Ezekiel. Let's hear Ezekiel. They talked about it in their homes. They talked about it in their streets. And yet when they went and they listened to Ezekiel, when they went away from Ezekiel and heard what Ezekiel had to say, they didn't do anything about it. And God condemned them for that. You see, God does not tolerate the hearing of his word and then subsequent disobedience of that word. Why would he? And so Jesus, aware of our propensity not to listen, warns those whom he is speaking, and he warns us today that it is a serious, serious matter to gather in the household of God, to hear the word of God read, to hear the word of God proclaimed, to hear the word of God explained, to hear it heralded, and then to go away and not do what it says. And conscious of that, he warned those who listened. He didn't ignore it. He didn't say it's up to them to choose whether they want to hear it or not. He actually upfronts it. He brings it onto the table. He speaks very directly to them. Take care. Take heed. Be observant. You must understand that this is a matter of the most serious gravity. If you listen and do not do, there is a consequence. That's the second reason why it's important that we not only heed the words of Jesus, because he knows what he's talking about, and he knows the propensity of our hearts not to listen. The second reason is because Jesus spells out in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, verse 18, the reality of what will happen to those who do listen and what will happen to those who do not listen. He says, the one who does listen, more will be given. Isn't that a great word of encouragement to you? That as you listen, and as you hear, and as you think, and as you go away, and as you wrestle with these issues in your lives, that as you apply the truth to your life, whatever the circumstances, that God says, you will hear more. That he will give you a desire to hear more. And why would you long to have a desire to hear more of the righteous and good and godly and blessed ways of the Lord? Why would any of you this morning want to receive the goodness of God? Why would you want to receive the blessings of God? Why would you want to receive the righteousness of God? Why would you want to be blessed with the power of God in your life? Why would any of you want to be bothered with any of that? Surely is that not what you long for? Do you not want to receive the good and gracious blessings of the Lord? Do you not want to receive his hand upon your life? Do you not want him through trials and tribulations, good and bad? Do you not want that peace that passes all understanding and that contentment that comes from knowing God? Do you not want the joy of the release from the frustration and the anger and the bitterness and the cruelty of life? Do you not relish the opportunity to have that which is good for you and yours? Of course you do. Well, God says it's there for the taking. If you hear the word of God, you will receive the word of God in greater measure. But there's a flip side to the coin. The one who has not, the one who does not listen, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Jesus says that you have received, and you will not listen. Don't think that you can hold the ground that you're standing on. Don't think that you can say to yourself, well, I have reached this point in my Christian life. I'm quite satisfied with this point in my Christian life. I'm satisfied with my level of engagement in the life of the church. I'm satisfied with my communion with God. I'm satisfied with what I have. Jesus says, if you do not listen, if you do not heed the commands of God, if you do not accept and obey the ways of God, then know this, Jesus says, what you have, you will lose. You will lose. I will take it from you. It will be taken from you. You think you're standing on firm territory, you think you can hold it, you don't know what you're thinking. You don't understand who it is in control of your life. God says, I can do what I want in your life because I am the creator of heaven and earth. And you think that you can listen and disobey and that you're all right because you believe in Jesus Christ. Well, a few weeks ago, we looked at a passage like that, didn't we? Where people said, Jesus, Lord, Lord, did we not say that we believed in you? Did we not proactively engage in the life of the church? Did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not heal people? Jesus says to them on that day, what? What does he say? Welcome into heaven. I'm so glad to see you. I've been waiting for you so long. You spoke of me. You did things in the church. Jesus says to them, depart from me. I never knew you. Never knew you. Why does Jesus say, depart from me. I never knew you? Why does he tell us that? Because they did not do the will of the Father. They came and they said, I believe in Jesus. I was converted. I was saved. Jesus rules my life. Yes, okay, there's times in my life when I don't do what I should do, and I know that that's the case. But the reality is there are things that I delight in more than I delight in the things of God. But I still do enough to get me by. Jesus says, no. If you will not listen and will not obey, then what you have will be taken from you. Do you understand that this morning? Do you really get that point? That you're not in control of the ground in which you stand on. That ground is held by God, and you're held there in His mercy and His grace. You don't hold it by tenacity. And if you listen and do not do, then you are on a road where He will take from you what you have. We listen to Jesus, why? Because He understands. He not only understands because He makes clear the consequences, but we listen to Jesus because God tells us to listen to Jesus. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, at the Transfiguration, in the 35th verse, it says, God speaks to those who are there, and He says, a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is My Son, My chosen one, listen to Him. This is God speaking. And God is speaking at this moment and saying to those who would hear, this is My Son, My chosen one, listen to hear. And when we come, as we did in Hebrews, to the 12th chapter, we read very clearly, see that you do not refuse Him who is speaking. Do not refuse Him who is speaking. God is saying to His people, do not refuse Jesus who is speaking. And what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, you must listen and you must do what I say. Well, why should we take this seriously? Why should we take what God says seriously? It's a very important question, you know. Because there are times in all of our lives when we don't take what God says seriously. We just don't do it. We will take what we want seriously, but we won't take what God says seriously. We have caveats and excuses and reasons. God makes it very clear what He would have us to do, and we negotiate our way out of it with plausible excuses, we think. But in fact, they're just aberrations. And they show up that we do not understand what God is saying. Or we do understand, we just not submit to it. Why should we really, genuinely, in all seriousness, listen to God? Because God is God. And He sits and He has the earth as His footstool, as Isaiah says in chapter 66. And God speaks and this world comes into existence. And if you want to see something of the power of God revealed among men, you just have to dwell for a moment or two in that chapter 19 and 20 of Exodus, when God came to that mountain at Sinai and dwelt on that mountain in thunder and lightning and thick smoke. And you see the response of human beings in the 18th verse of the 20th chapter. All the people saw it, not the serious people, not the committed people, not the deeply, deeply religious among them, but all the people, all God's people, saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning. They heard the sound of the trumpet. They saw the mountain smoking. And all the people, we read, were afraid and trembled. God had said to them, don't come near the mountain, because anyone who comes near the mountain will be put to death. Animals were excluded from the mountain because they would be put to death as well. And here we have the climax of Israel's Old Testament experience. God is meeting with Moses. He's giving Moses this law that is to govern their lives in the land that has been promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This law that governs our lives today. Israel has entered into covenant with God. And here they are on this wonderful but extremely frightening occasion. The mountain is burning with fire. There is darkness, there is gloom. There is a tempest howling. There is this sound like a trumpet blast. That's the only way they can describe it. Everybody is terrified. Terrified. And why are they terrified? Why are they terrified? Are they terrified at the sight of the mountain and smoke? Are they terrified by the fact of the flames? Are they terrified by the darkness? Well, those things are having a physical impact on them. It's affecting their hearing. It's affecting their sight. It's affecting them. But what they're terrified of is that here is God in a very, very tiny way presencing himself with them. And God has held them back because he knows his own glory. He knows his own holiness. And they're thinking to themselves, if this is God holding back, if this is God protecting us, if this shaking of the very ground that we're standing on is what happens when God comes in minuscule form into our being, into our presence, what would it be like if God was to come upon us? And so the law comes, and the people are totally terrified. You speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die. Lest we die. Do you have any sense that when the word of God comes to you, that you must listen? Lest you die? Because it is the authoritative, all-commanding, non-negotiable word of God. When you read the law of God, and you read the commands of Christ, do you have a sense that this is to be obeyed at my peril? At my peril. Ach, but sure, we're living in the New Testament period. That's what you read about God in the Old Testament, isn't it? You read about God destroying the people. You read about God walking into the land that was promised and bringing devastations on the people. You read about the power of God and the destruction of Pharaoh in the Red Sea. This is the God of the Old Testament. This is the God of stoning the evil one. This is the God of the stoning of the Sabbath breaker. This is the God who stoned and had his people destroyed for tiny, tiny things. The stealing of a few shekels out of a city. Put him to death. This is the God of the Old Testament. What does the writer to the Hebrews tell us? Chapter 12, he tells us that we don't come to a mountain that's touched, that may not be touched, a blazing fire to gloom and darkness. We come to a God who brings joy to the Mount Zion. You come to the God of the Mount Zion. You don't come to the God who causes you to tremble. Moses trembles with fear, even Moses. But you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable angels and festal gathering. You come to a place of joyous assembly. The firstborn are who are enrolled in heaven. You come to God who is the judge of all. Come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Come to a God who presents himself in a different way, but does he? What does it say in verse 25? See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on the earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. You thought they trembled in the Old Testament? You thought that they were scared to the very innards of their being at the Mount Sinai? This God who spoke on the earth? This God who, when he was refused, brought judgment? And you think because we're living in a new covenant dispensation, because Jesus is now the mediator of that new covenant, his blood, that everything is okay, you hear and you do what you want? Read the words. Read and hear what it says. Look at it. If they did not escape what they refused, who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns us from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Everything will be shaken. He will speak in the whole earth and the heavens will be shaken. And you think that you'll be all right? You think you'll be okay? You think that you can appeal to Jesus and somehow Jesus will say, "Ach, it doesn't really matter. I understood your circumstances. I understood where you were at." Do you honestly believe that just having heard what I have said from the Word of God, that Jesus is going to say to you, "Listen, I'll give you a wee bye"? Do you not understand? Yet once more indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order the things that cannot be shaken may remain. What he's saying is, I came and I shook the earth at Sinai, and I shook the earth at Sinai. Why does Moses tell us? So that they would know that they should not sin. That's why God shook the earth, so that they would know that they should not sin. So that they would know that they should not sin. So that they would know that they should not sin. So that they would know that they should not sin. That's why God shook the earth. And God says, in this new covenant period, he says, I will not only shake the earth, I will shake the heavens and the earth. That's why he says, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And what is he quoting there? He's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 4. He was a consuming fire and he is a consuming fire. He was a God who said, listen and do as I say or you will be cursed. He is a God who says, listen and do what I say or you will be cursed. Do you understand what God's word brings to you this morning? God does not deal with, I believe in Jesus, and I will do as it suits me. He doesn't do that. He never has, and he never will. And why should he? Why should God have offered up his only Son, his chosen one, as an atonement sacrifice for the sacrifice of our sins? For us then to say, we believe in God with all our heart, soul, and mind, but we'll go off and do what we want to do when it suits us, how it suits us, and where it suits us. Take a wee step back from your life. Give it a wee bit of thought. Ask yourself, seriously, do you think that God's going to accept that? When Jesus comes to you and says, this is God's word, it's living and active. Take care how you hear, because I understand your propensity not to hear. Take care, because if you don't listen, the ground you're standing on at the moment will be taken from you. It will be taken from you. And God comes and says to us, did you hear what Jesus said? Did you listen to what he said? He's my chosen son. Listen to what he says. Listen to him. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. And God says, if you need a wee warning just to get you thinking, then go back into Sinai and look at what I did at Sinai as a warning to tell them, you will not sin. And then extrapolate it down into this period. And you think that I'll be easier? You think I'll be easier having revealed Jesus and having sent my son to the cross, that I'm going to be easier on you than I was on them? They who look through the glass darkly They who didn't have a full understanding. You think that you now who have a full understanding of who Jesus is, that you can turn around with impunity and deny me and not listening to my commands, and I will say nothing about it. I am a consuming fire, God says. And I will shake the heavens and the earth. And my will be done. My will be done. This is the truth of God's word to our lives. It's a serious, somber truth. And dear, help you the day if you go out of this building and there's anything but in your soul except the prayer, God, search me. Search me and have me to obey your word. Search me and have me to do your way. Search me and see if there is any way in me that is wrong. And lead me to repentance and the way everlasting. Dear, help you today if you leave this building with any other thought in your soul but that. For our God is a consuming fire. And he sees and he knows you better than you know yourself. And his will be done for his glory. Amen. We close.